This is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And I'm exhausted. These special reports are killing me, Nicole. Our one-hour in-depth... I didn't even know I was doing a special report today until I started
doing it.
Then I realized that everything was tying together so beautifully. And what was our last one on? Just a week ago, Tuesday, today. Oh, you weren't even here, were you?
Tuesday. I wasn't here for your last one. I was here for the first one.
But it was on vaccinating children and all of the warning signs that were out there. And looky here, as we kick off today's Fastest 15. Wait a second. I've got a musical bump for this. Do I have a musical bump for this, Nicole?
Oh, you know what? Hold on. It's not there yet.
Hurry. No,
hold on. You'll have a bump coming out of it. Hang on.
No, I want the bump going in.
It just hasn't transferred yet. Hold on.
Has it not transferred yet? Oh, man. So anyway, I'll just vamp for a little bit. So last week we told you about the numbers, that one of the reasons that they're so desperate to get 12 and 13-year-olds vaccinated is because Moderna and Pfizer, they made $1.5 billion and $3.7 billion in the first quarter this year. And so the only way that they're going to be able to keep up the earnings and the stock price, which has spiked really high, is if they can find more customers. And I do believe that doctors will do things that are not in patients' best interest if the pharmaceutical companies give them a financial reason to do so. Oh, in fact, I've got a great story to share with you. Are you able to be the recipient of my story, Nicole?
Okay.
So I went and saw. And this is about the vaccines, too. So about 8 weeks ago, I got the COVID vaccine. Then a couple weeks later, I was scheduled for an annual physical. And the COVID vaccine, surprisingly, it knocked me down. And I really was surprised because I rarely get sick. And then 2 weeks later, I had an annual physical, and I got a shingles vaccine. And Nicole was very angry that my doctor would give me the shingles vaccine when I got so sick 2 weeks earlier from the COVID vaccine. So then, about a week after I get the shingles vaccine, and shingles is the horribly painful, from what I hear. I've never had it. But I've talked to people who have had it, and it sounds just awful. But it's if you've ever had the chicken pox, you don't get rid of the chicken pox, as I understand it. It lies dormant in your body. And so shingles is, and I'm talking in the most simplistic of ways. And if there's a doctor listening, gritting your teeth, forgive me. But it's shingles in its most painful form. It becomes a kind of a reactivation of that chickenpox vaccine. So I get the COVID vaccine, I get the shingles vaccine, and then a few days after the shingles, I break out in hives. My upper thighs have hives, my arms have hives. It's been 6 weeks, and I finally, my doctor, who'd seen me twice, as we were trying to figure this out, and he gave me, over-the-counter stuff, and he gave me a topical thing, and he goes, hey, you got to go see a dermatologist. So yesterday I went and saw a dermatologist, and she was wonderful young woman, and she goes, oh, I'm almost positive this is connected to, she said, we can do tests. We can do blood tests, we can do a biopsy and scrape cells and look and see. But she said, I'm pretty sure that's from the vaccine. She said, that would make sense. I go, okay, so what should I do?
Of course it is.
Yeah, I know, that's what I was thinking too. I know it. Because I've never had hives in my entire life. Which is why I'm a little wary of these, you know, these vaccines.
And I believe it was in your throat, too.
That's well, I had a sore throat, but that supposedly was coincidental. I don't know. But
no, this is your throat, your voice thing has been happening for like about the same amount of time, I think, where it kind of comes and goes. It's a weird thing.
So she says, okay, this is a what's happening to my skin all over. It's a histamine. She said, so obviously we want to get you an antihistamine. So she said, I want you to take over-the-counter Zyrtec in the morning. And then she gave me a prescription antihistamine for bedtime. And then she said, and I'm going to give you a gel that you can just use topically on the hives. And I'm not just telling the story for the sake of telling the story about my hives, because really I don't like talking about this. But it just tells you something about the pharmaceutical industry. So I go to the pharmacy last night to get the prescription one, the over-the-counter one, and then the gel. And the pharmacist says, okay, now they didn't give us a generic option for the gel. And I go, well, okay, how much is it going to cost? He goes, well, your end, it'll cost $500 for one tube of gel.
That's insane.
It's insane. And he goes, but the active ingredient is 0.025. Now, double that strength, 0.05, there is a generic available, and that'll cost you like $20.
What?
I go, can you just give me that? And he goes, no, we can't change the concentration, the active ingredient, until we hear from your doc. But for half the strength, it was going to be $500 for a tube of gel. And my point is, first of all, if you know, like when I had my knee replacement surgery, and most people don't look to see what everything costs, you know, the overnight in the hospital and all that. But it's like an $80,000 procedure. And, you know, if you have insurance, most people don't look at the bills. And you don't see how ridiculous things are. Several years ago, I was prescribed this little battery-operated muscle stimulator for an injury that I had. They said that I had the option to buy it. And I said, what will it cost me? They said, oh, it won't cost you anything. It's free. And I said, what will it cost my insurance company? And they go, $400. And it was just a little tiny box with a transistor battery. It was 9-volt. And a couple of little wires coming out. I go, what are you talking about, $400? So I go online and I find the exact same thing. The exact same thing for $20. And they were going to charge $400 to my insurance company. So I called the doctor. I was really ticked off. And I go, how can you justify selling something that costs 20 times more to my insurance company than what I can get it for? And he goes, well, with your insurance company, you wouldn't be out a penny. Now you're out $20. And I go, I would much rather pay $20 than have my insurance company pay $400. And then he goes, and you have no guarantee that the one you buy online will be the same quality as the one we can get you. And I said, I could get 20 of the ones online. If they break down once a month, I'll be fine for a couple of years. Versus what you want to bill my insurance company. And it's just, it's infuriating. And that's why medical costs go up so much faster than inflation, why it's such a high part, and why Obamacare is a scam, because nobody's bringing down the costs and the scams. They've just figured out a way to shift the cost of it to young, healthy people who see their costs skyrocket. What we really need is some serious medical reform where somebody who's got a good accounting mind and some decency. We need some decency. People not selling little pieces of garbage plastic with a 9-volt for $400. Oh, it's infuriating. Okay, so anyway, that's my latest medical thing.
I will say that it's nice that you have a pharmacist who's willing to explain that to you and figure that out for you, because that's important to be told. I think you'll probably call your doctor and they'll probably say, oh, yeah, sure, I can do that. And then she'll know for the future and so on, right?
Oh, I did. But I left a voicemail as soon as I got home last night. And I said, hey, can I get the double strength so it won't cost me $500?
But lots of people think they have no option like that and would just pay. So good on your pharmacist.
Well, and it's like this stuff in, with the shots. The shots are free. No, they're not. Moderna made $1.5 billion first quarter. Pfizer made $3.7 billion first quarter. Don't tell everybody the shots are free, because the pharmaceutical companies are making billions and billions of dollars off of them. Okay, so now what's the latest news on all of this? Serious. Every topic I'm doing today is just absolutely exhausting me. The whole first hour, the medical industry. I thought we'd start with who. Who are you? Okay, who is in the news? Not the who, but who? The World Health Organization now says children should not receive COVID-19 vaccinations. The dateline on this is June 21st. This is what's shocking. June 21st in the middle of the afternoon yesterday. How much attention has this gotten? How much mainstream media coverage has this gotten? The World Health Organization has revised advice on June 21st, clarifying which population should receive COVID-19 vaccines. The WHO's website now states children should not be vaccinated for the moment. They say there's not enough evidence on the use of vaccines against COVID-19 in children to make recommendations for children to be vaccinated against COVID-19. Well, this is exactly what I spent an hour and a half telling you last Tuesday. But I had to do all that research independently. I dug out all the numbers myself, and now it's all coming together. But they say the WHO advice conflicts with the U.S. FDA's authorization to include 12 and over for the Pfizer biotech COVID-19 vaccination program. But I continue to believe the only reason children are getting vaccinated is because there are massive kickbacks going to politicians, probably to some doctors that are leading them to do something that medically is completely inadvisable for children. But this came out yesterday. If you want to check it out, go to WHO, WHO.int, on the World Health Organization website. They have their new guideline. They say they don't think kids should get vaccinated. So I'm not surprised. But then, here locally, and by the way, when I said politicians and doctors getting kickbacks, I am not assigning those words to anybody I have a soundbite with. But I do think it's happening in general, but not specifically with people that I have soundbites with, because I'm not specifically accusing any individual of this. But Channel 4, yeah, ComoNews.com. They talked to Dr. Mary Fairchuk, a pediatric infectious disease expert at Mary Bridge Children's Hospital, and she said, yeah, you should get the shots, but we're not sure how long it'll last.
On a monthly basis, they drew blood on these individuals to look at immune memory and to try to get a feel for how long immunity lasts. And so far what they found is it's highly variable, prior infection does not necessarily provide long-term immunity, especially against the variants of concern that we're starting to see.
The CDC also categorized...
Okay, and then in the Como report, they did mention this.
The CDC also categorizes who's not getting vaccinated. Adults aged 18 to 39 years with lower incomes, lower educational attainment, and no health insurance. Many of them non-Hispanic Black adults who live in suburbs. But one thing to remember, the vaccines are free. And now health experts say that some of these pockets of unvaccinated...
Okay, the vaccines are not free. Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson, they're not doing this as some philanthropic effort, okay? It's not free. Other people are paying for it. Maybe we should phrase it that way. Other people, taxpayers are paying for it. But the vaccines are not free. We've got to stop with that stuff because people aren't getting a clear picture of what's going on. But yeah, the World Health Organization, the World Horse Organization, the World Health Organization says they are now putting a hold on their recommendation of children getting the vaccine. Go to who.int. That's their website. Okay. Because I spent so much time on my doc stuff. We'll just wrap it up. That's your fastest 15, but we'll tail out with some Who here. Quick timeout, and we'll talk to King County Councilman Reagan Dunn, who says that he believes King County should take over by force if necessary. Nah, he didn't say that. But he said it can be a hostile takeover that the City of Seattle doesn't have to go along with. City Hall Park, adjacent to the county building. Downtown, adjacent to the courthouse, because of all the murders and dog killings and feces and urine and just human detritus that's been so violent down there. We'll talk to him about that coming up next as the Dory Monson Show continues. How bad have things gotten in downtown Seattle? There is now a proposal to condemn and shut down one of the few open spaces that we have down there. City Hall Park, right next to the courthouse in downtown Seattle, is such a public safety hazard. King County Councilman Reagan Dunn says it is time to shut it down, condemn it. Reagan Dunn joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Reagan, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Thanks for having me on, Dory. I appreciate it.
All right. So why are you proposing condemning this park?
Well, for anyone who's been down to the King County Courthouse in downtown Seattle lately, you'll see that it's just pretty much a war zone down there. City Hall Park is just full of criminal activity. We have anywhere between 2 and 5 assaults per week. They're just reported by King County employees. One of our employees came outside the other night and found a dead body on the street that was somebody had been murdered there. We had a guy arrested for kicking a dog to death in that park. It just goes on and on, full of tents and drugs and everything else. And there's homelessness, but the criminal activity is hiding in plain sight. So this is condemning it. We're going to take it, King County. We're going to pay the city for it. And we're going to start to enforce the laws there because the King County Sheriff's Office will have jurisdiction because it's a piece of property we own.
Yeah. And as you just mentioned, guy was stabbed to death there 5 days ago. And so what would you do with it? I remember, Reagan, I think this was before COVID. Maybe in 2019, but I did stories because it was packed with homeless people then. And we were doing stories about these men and women just trying to walk to their office at, 7:30, 8 a.m. And the people in this park were lobbing baggies and Ziplocs and bottles of urine and feces at passersby just for sport. I mean, the way that the homeless are lobbing concrete and rebar onto cars on I-5, they were just throwing human waste at people from this park a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and it's become lawless. It's lawlessness, and it's not fair or safe for the taxpaying citizens of this county to put up with this any longer. I've had enough. The judges have had enough. The people who work in the courthouse have had enough. And I think the citizens of King County have had enough. And so we're going to condemn this thing based on state law that allows for this, for the health, safety, and welfare of the community. We'll pay the city of Seattle, since they haven't done anything to police down there. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I'm not blaming the police for sure. I'm blaming the city council. And we're going to take it over. It takes a vote, 5 members of the King County Council. We're going to take it over. And Dory, you may remember the courthouse used to have an entrance facing south into that park. There's a now it's behind the dumpsters. And my grandfather used to practice law in the Smith Tower, walk over and go through the courthouse to court. We're going to I think I'd like to reopen that entrance, which already is there. It's turned into a loading zone, and then make that park under our control. And if we want to provide services for the homeless or other things, we can do some of that there, but we'll be under our supervision and not the lawlessness that the city of Seattle has allowed to create.
Okay, and so what do you think? Because as you said, everybody's had enough except apparently the Seattle City Council. What do you think is their real motivation? And I don't mean any stated motivation. What's their real motivation for wanting a place where dogs are kicked to death, humans are stabbed to death in a 1 week period? What's their motivation for wanting this?
There's a lot of different reasons. Certain people just enjoy the chaos that exists. Another particular member of that council wants to tear the entire system down and I guess build it back in her own skewed vision. What we know is that there's an 86% increase in homicides. Crime is the highest it's been in 30 years, and it's getting worse really fast. We've lost 250-plus police officers from Seattle's force and 35% of the sheriff's deputies from the King County force. It's a recipe for disaster, and if we don't take this under control and start enforcing the rule of law, people are going to literally die. And so I don't know what their motivation are, but it's bad public policy what they've been promoting. The decriminalization of everything under the sun is bad public policy. And at some point, the voters are going to say, wait a minute. No, we're not going to do this anymore. And so anyway, for my piece on this, and a lot of others, we're going to condemn that piece of property and make it safe.
Okay, you say it would take a simple vote of 5 members of the King County Council, but aren't there 2 participants in a transaction with the city of Seattle have to say, yeah, we'll allow you to take it over, or can you do this unilaterally?
We can do it unilaterally because state law provides this and the Constitution provides us that we can take land, but we got to provide just compensation for the value of that land, but we can take it. Municipalities can condemn within each other. And so, you know, they have clearly abdicated their responsibilities at Seattle City Hall for community safety right next to their own courthouse. So if I get 5 votes, we're going to pass this through and they won't be able to say anything about it. They can only argue the issue of valuation. How much is it worth?
Well, I mean, it's essentially worthless right now. How about this? Instead of keeping government involved, whether it be the city of Seattle or King County, since the place is practically worthless as is, why don't you guys sell it to me for $1?
I'll do that. I'll do it.
I'll clean it up.
I just got to keep it safe. The problem is one person.
I'll clean it up, and then I'll put up a 70-story high rise, and that'll be my ticket out.
We're all looking for that ticket out, Dory.
Yeah.
We're all looking for that ticket. Very good. I don't care who owns it as long as it's safe. I think the people feel the same way.
Do you have the votes? Do you have 5 members of the council who will take it over?
I might be able to get those. But also, you know, if for some reason I can't get those votes, I think I could. At least the city of Seattle is forced to pay attention because it's not just about safety. It's a little bit of humiliation. I mean, they're not doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And we got to fix it.
All right. Keep me posted, okay?
I will. Thanks, Dory, for your interest.
Okay. Okay, and I'll submit my bid to you by the end of the week, Tim.
You got it. Bucktown to me.
All right. Councilman Reagan Dunn joining us. They want to condemn and take over City Hall Park because it is a disaster. It's like a horror movie if you've been down there lately. All right, what do you think? You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Story we told you about in the Fastest 15 that's getting almost zero news attention locally, nationally, even around the world. Yesterday, the World Health Organization, they said that they are no longer recommending that children get the vaccine. They say, in this, again, from who.int/emergencies/diseases, children should not be vaccinated for the moment. Children and adolescents tend to have milder disease compared to adults, so unless they are part of a group at higher risk of severe COVID-19, it is less urgent to vaccinate them than older people, those with chronic health conditions, and health workers. So the WHO now says that they do not think that children should be vaccinated. Now, here's what's fascinating about this. There are a bunch of colleges. Yesterday, I talked to a dad whose son goes to Whitworth. And Whitworth has said, and the son doesn't want to get the vaccine. And I don't blame him. But now Whitworth College says that if you don't get the vaccine and there's an outbreak anywhere on campus, you, unvaccinated person, must leave the campus, can't go to class, there will be no remote classes, you can't be in the dorms, you can't eat in the halls, and you will lose all the money that you've spent on those things. Even if you don't get sick, if you're unvaccinated. But this is the kind of coercion that is being, you know, the lever that is being used against young people. And then you have, there's another college that I'm aware of where a tenured prof got hold of me this morning. And he said, you know, he's nervous to come out because he's a rare conservative voice on his campus. But same thing. He says that the kind of pressure that's being exerted on kids is ridiculous. And we're talking about, you know, they're college students, lots of college students under the age of 17. I mean, under the age of 18. There are a lot of 17-year-old college students. And now the World Health Organization says you shouldn't get vaccinated. And then you have the government saying, oh, you've got to get vaccinated. Well, this is a pretty important issue. You know, if so many kids, especially young teenage boys, are getting myocarditis, heart inflammation, that sort of thing. Girls are having problems with their periods after getting vaccinated. Why? And I always try to check myself when I disagree with parental decisions because there are few things more infuriating than people questioning how you parent or when people would question how I parented. I guess I'm still a parent. So I try not to do so any blanket thing. I just don't understand why a parent would get their 12-year-old vaccinated. I don't understand. I really don't understand why a parent would get their 5 or 6-year-old vaccinated. And I will take a stand against parents. If you take your 6-month-old to Children's Hospital to be part of a vaccination medical test, I think that's crazy. So that's the latest from the World Health Organization, getting almost no attention. The CDC in America still says that you should get vaccinated as children. But the World Health Organization has split off from that. As I've been talking about, it's been a theme all day today that I just don't understand the other side in what is becoming or what are becoming the dominant issues of our time. What I do know is that it is going to take people taking back society, taking back our world, installing some normalcy. I'm going to give you some examples here. There was, you know, Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization, Marxist roots. There is no dispute about that. It is very much a political organization. Well, in some school districts, they ban political organizations. But at an elementary school in Minnesota, they have Black Lives Matter posters and banners all over the school. A Marxist political organization in a school that says we will not allow political posters. Listen, you want to have some faith in kids? Listen to this 9-year-old girl. Her name is Novali. Listen to her talk to the school board about the BLM posters in her school.
The other day I was walking down the hallway at Lakeview Elementary School to give a teacher a retiring gift. I looked up onto the wall and saw a BLM poster and an Amanda Gorman poster. In case you don't know who that chick is, she's some girl who did a poem at Biden's so-called inauguration. I was so mad. I was told 2 weeks ago at this very meeting spot, no politics in school. I believed what you said at this meeting. So at lunch, I went up to my principal to tell him about the BLM poster and that I wanted it down. He said it's not coming down. I was like, yeah, it is, because the school board said on May 25th, no BLM or politics in school. He said, that's weird. They were the ones who made them. I was stunned. When I was here 2 weeks ago, you told us to report any BLM in our schools. Apparently, you know they're in our schools because you made the signs. I said there should be no BLM in schools, period. Does not matter the color you make the posters and the font you use. We all understand the meaning. It is a political message about getting rid of police officers, rioting, burning buildings down while King Governor Welch just sits on his throne and watches. We all know. Changing the font or the color of posters does not change the meaning. I am 9 years old and I know that. You expect me to believe that you did not know what you were doing by making these posters? Come on, people. I do not judge people by the color of their skin. I don't really care what color their hair, skin, or eyes is. I judge by the content or the way they treat me. MLK said, I have a dream that one day my four little children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That dream has come true. I do not care or look at the color of skin, but you make me think of it. I have Asian, Mexican, white, Chinese, black friends, and I don't care. I like them because some of them make me laugh, some are sweet and kind, sporty, or share the love of God. They are just my friends. You have lied to me, and I am very disappointed in all of you. You cannot even follow your own rules. If you're going to do that, why do we follow any rules we deemed unfit or ridiculous? I'm not following your mask rule anymore then. Get the posters out of our schools. Courage is contagious, so be courageous.
9-year-old Novali. Prediction. I think she will be a handful in a few years. Oh, man. All right. We are coming up here to the top here. We're going to check the news for you, both CBS and local alike. And then we'll get into the big lead at 2 o'clock, where we have more, lots more local news that I have to get to that we just haven't had a chance yet. An update on the Pride event that's charging white people a fee, or as they put it, reparations. If you want to attend, we'll give you the latest on that and everything else in the big lead, too, next here on the Dory Monson Show.